Hey, Corey.
Hey, Rachel.
It's been a while.
It has been a while since we last recorded, but we're coming at you on a day.
Well, that's not what I was talking about, well, really, but...
But it has been. It's been two weeks.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since...
Dogtown.
Since Dogtown?
Bloodbath.
Oh, Jesus. You're going back to the fucking Chili Peppers.
Soft Tail. Blackjack.
You're...
Dope Dick.
I am too...
Pawn Shop.
Hopped up on Quick allergy pick. Medication for this. This is not. I had to trudge through pollen
Songbird.
That was up to my knees
Mainline.
To get here, like a goddamn
Cashback.
Blizzard. And this is
pollen.
This is how I'm rewarded. Wow.
Deal with it.
Wow. All right. Well, what's up, ding dongs? Rachel's going through a new metal thing.
I've been asked to join RHCP as the new member. Did y'all know that?
No.
Yeah,
sounds
I did.
Great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I mean, it was
John
indistinguishable.
John Frusciante called me, and he was like,
"What's
up?" From
the actual performance.
He was like, "Join us."
This is like a Robert Altman movie. Speaking of the Sidewalk Cinema, which we haven't yet. Showing a bunch of Robert Altman movies in April, and this is like a Robert Altman movie in that there are two conversations happening at the same time. One of them
lapping dialogue. Bitch.
One of them is Rachel having a new metal era, and the other is me
Altman.
Just trying to deal with it.
April movies.
That's right,
cinema.
Movies. Shout out to all the kittens and Corey heads. I did say what's up, ding dongs.
Whatever.
Let's
do
it. This is the Side Talks podcast. One of us is clearly a lot more energetic than the other today because...
Bummer!
I don't know. Maybe the allergy medication works different on
sure.
you. I don't know because...
No,
I'm,
I have a migraine. Migraine!
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about movies.
Let's talk about movies.
Let's do it.
Get ready for a 5-minute fight.
5 minute.
Round one. Fight.
Oh boy, start the timer, Brad, because this we may pull this and make this a 3-minute fight.
I don't know about
5-minute fight. Well, let's go. Let's
5-minute fight on Zack Snyder's 300.
You're
and
a bummer.
Shockingly, Rachel is taking
like
the pro
it.
On this.
You're a bummer. What do you not like about this film? It's got swords. It's got knives. It's got dudes playing fighting games. It's got mythology. It's got ladies.
That
swords and ladies.
Right back around on you, to be perfectly honest, because this is almost exhibit A of the things in Hollywood blockbusters that you despise in virtually every other context.
That's fun. I had good time with the movies. You know, I like I said, they're fighting. They got the swords. They like, you know, they're medieval dudes. They're like mythological dudes.
Well,
they're like,
yeah, not. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All of that's true. I
don't know. What do you want? What do you want? It's fine. It's like computer generated explosion in your face, but it's just like I watched it. It seemed fairly breezy. I liked the ladies in it. You know, I could, you know, there was a lot of abs, a lot of ab work.
So many
a lot of ab work.
Abs.
Fine. I mean, people like abs. I felt like the abs were there for us.
So Zack Snyder is a really interesting maker of images. And to be honest, 300 came out at a period of time where I was pretty in on Snyder. I mean, I was in college and I am who I am. So 300 was actually a movie I liked a lot when I first saw it. But I've soured on Snyder. I would say those
soured
first
on Snyder.
Those first
there's
four
the,
movies
the title.
Soured on Snyder. Those first four movies up to Sucker Punch, I think at the time, I was like, these are really interesting, like, subversions of traditional action movie tropes.
That's not what this is, no.
No, it turns out in hindsight, I was giving Snyder a little bit too much
credit.
Oh, I see
what happened.
I think these movies are altogether emptier and less interesting than I initially gave them credit for. Snyder's also like a weird libertarian. All of his movies are like Ayn Rand movies. He's like an objectivist. He wants to make The Fountainhead. And this is like Superman being like an Ayn Rand thing is a bummer. So that's
I'm
one
not even
reason
trying
why
to
I
get political. The political shit gets you so weighed down, dude.
But,
I'm just looking.
I can't remove 300 from the fuck
on.
Yeah, motherfucker. The let's
not?
Surge into Iraq and Afghanistan
I
context
mean,
of the Bush administration.
I just don't place it there. I just really don't. I mean, it's like mythology. I like it. It is mythological. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with Bush.
It has everything to do with George Bush.
I understand this. You got Gary Marshall'd. Like, when I'm watching a Gary Marshall film, like Valentine's Day, and I get halfway through it, and I'm like, oh my God, he's a genius. This is so, like, this is subtextually interesting. It's abstract. It's fucking with our heads. It's making me question narrative structure. And then I'm like, and then I get, like, toward the end, and I'm like, oh no, he's just a hack. Oh shit, I got Gary Marshall'd. I really thought this was so strange and weird because it was, you know, Lynchian, but it's not. It's just somebody bad at their job. So you got Gary Marshall on this. I see what your issue is, and then you're also connecting it with the politics. So I hear you. I still think this is an enjoyable film. I still don't think that because it's a story about mythological war that we need to connect it to this man's politics and
the Spartan mythos,
Afghanistan.
Like, I mean, this is the cinematic equivalent of like baseball players slapping each other on the ass and saying no homo immediately afterward. You know, like men just be like broing out with against this like massive effeminate gay villain. Like Rodrigo Santoro in like leading the Persians
every film
or whatever.
Noir film.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, look.
Yeah, we can go down that road, but it serves a different
gay trope being involved in something is, you know, gay villain trope.
You can't separate that from what was happening in 2007 when this movie came out.
You liked the movie. You liked 300. You just got wrapped up in some political shit and you put it all up on 300.
No.
And you're trying
Snyder has revealed himself to not be a thoughtful filmmaker. And it soured me on those first four movies, excepting the Dawn of the Dead remake, which is great and by far his best movie.
Okay.
It soured me on like giving him the benefit of the doubt that he had something going on. No, it is really just dorm room poster style posturing.
I don't think it's like dorm room style poster. I mean, is it dorm room on in the background?
Airbrush on a wood paneled van style posturing.
Yeah, yes, that's what I like about it. Sword.
Well, okay, I guess that's like you're coming at it from like a inheritor of the title of Conan the Barbarian or something. That was time. We've talked five minutes too long on 300.
I would rather watch that scene where they're, you know.
Yeah, I started talking about the political context of 300 and Rachel like
gave me
devil horns and
I just don't,
skateboarded away.
It doesn't need, yeah, exactly. It doesn't need to be read like that. It really doesn't.
Oh, my God.
Man, I didn't expect that. First of all, I just assumed that Rachel was going to be on the anti side.
I keep you on your toes.
You do. And I got to give you some points for sure just for coining the term you got Gary Marshall'd. I like that. Corey, man. I mean...
Uh-oh.
You liked the film.
Yeah, when I was 20. Let's not separate it from the context.
Sure.
And then you had some different, I don't know, it hit you different politically and now you don't like it, which I understand.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well,
yeah, I can't divorce that political.
He still likes Woody Allen films.
Christ almighty. Oh my God. Okay.
True or false? Answer the question.
You're not going there?
No.
He loves Woody Allen's politics.
No, I love Woody Allen's personal life. I've heard him say that a lot. Films. Yeah, like his films are secondary to the fact that the guy's led such a great lifestyle.
Great life. Yeah.
Anyway,
there's no swords in those Woody Allen films.
Most of them. There are probably a couple.
I mean, I think everyone can guess where the gauntlet's going down on this one. Rachel wins.
Yes, bitch.
Sure. We didn't mention Frank Miller and the comic book origin. And Frank Miller has really gone like full neoconservative. And, you know, all of that was kind of borderline as it was. The Dark Knight Returns and his comic book work, Sin City. And all of this is like in this mid-2000s, like, fuck yeah, you see comic book adaptations can also be edgy. Is everybody into that? And for a time I was like, yeah. And then I grew up and now I'm like, not really. Thanks, Frank Miller.
There's the difference. I guess, Brad, I didn't grow up.
I guess not.
So Frank Miller, all of these are just like –
Grown up perspective from Corey.
Fascist power fantasies.
Oh, bullshit.
And everybody was like, oh, he's interpreting the superhero, you know, distilling it to its essence, right, as a fascist power fantasy. And Frank Miller was like, nah, I just love fucking fascism, y'all. Like, this shit is dope. And everybody's like, oh,
you know,
we've kind of soured on this.
When in Rome.
Sure, it was the Bush administration. That was the tenor of the time.
I mean, not to get political, but yeah, things are so much better now.
Right.
It's all shit, Corey. That's what you got to understand. It's all shit.
All right. Enjoy 300, everybody. Roll Tide. God bless America.
Oh my God. Make 300 great again for Corey. What's this shit? I was kind.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I know you've got allergies right now, and I have a migraine, so I was just leaning back a little bit here.
Everything
on that one.
Everything is producing pollen.
I don't know that you're going to get this.
Okay.
Let's give it a shot. There's a woman, you know, youngish woman.
Uh-huh.
And she's in another country. She's American, but in another country.
Well, what the heck's she doing there?
All right. Do you know what it is? And I know because I watched the whole thing this time, so I'm just pulling a scene of something I've actually seen. She's in this place for a wedding, and she comes across a bench and sits down on the bench, and as it turns out, it's a wishing bench, which I didn't know was a thing, a wishing bench. And her wish is, I wish I was married to, and I can't remember the bra dog's name, but I wish I was married to this particular rich, handsome-ish man. And
cool.
A woman pops up in like a floral situation and grants her wish. And
what the fuck?
So the wish is therefore granted. And
is this that goddamn Lindsay Lohan movie that just dropped on Netflix?
What's it called?
Irish Wish.
You got it. You got it.
I didn't watch it. Did you watch this for real? Yes. Why?
I watched it. I did. Are you really asking me why?
Fair enough.
You're really asking me why. You haven't even seen it. You knew it. That's good.
I mean, the premise of the wish, I guess, is the thing.
Well, the wishing bench. There is so much wrong in this film. I don't even know. Like, for example, the wish is granted. She and this Irish woman in floral, she's very whimsical and annoying.
Uh-huh.
She says to Lindsay Lohan, okay, it's granted. You got it. And also, like, everybody, can we get on the same page right quick, Brad? Me, you, Corey. If we get one wish, just wish for fucking money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's probably going to backfire too. Don't get me wrong. Like, the wishes don't seem to work out.
You fucking fools. You wish for unlimited wishes.
Just wish for money. Just wish for money. No, because that backfires too.
No. How could that backfire? Unlimited wishes.
I don't need unlimited wishes. I just need $1 billion. And $1 billion will then buy me unlimited fucking wishes. You see where I'm going with this.
In this economy, go for $2 billion.
$2 billion, whatever. Put whatever number you need. But this is the thing. I don't even need that much. If you give me $40 right now, I'm headed to Vegas. I'm going to turn it into something. See what I'm saying? So I got it.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. I'm good. I'm good to go. Anyway, point is,
my stock portfolio.
Lilo does not, my Bitcoin. Look, Lilo does not wish for the money. She should have wished for the money. She wishes for the dude, and she gets the dude. But point is that the wishing demon here says to Lilo, you got your wish, and Lilo goes, well, it doesn't seem like I got it. Like, make something happen, like a big wind, and the wind happens. And so she's like, oh, okay, I get it now. You made the big wind happen, so yes, I got my wish. Wakes up in the bed at the house where she was, you know, the man she was interested in is getting married to her friend.
My lord.
When she wakes up, it takes her a prolonged period of time to acknowledge that her wish has come true. Like, I can't tell you the number of steps we have to go through before she's convinced that the wish has come true. And even after she acknowledges the wish is coming true, there's still antics that happen as if she doesn't know the wish is true. It is an annoying amount of time spent not just leaning into the fucking wish. See what I'm saying?
Come on, get with the program. Somebody really should have picked up on that in the production.
Once the wish is reversed, spoiler alert, once the wish is reversed, if you've ever seen a Lifetime movie, then you know that. Once the wish is reversed, it takes her a little less time, but it's still a little tricky there too.
So in conclusion,
definitely watch Irish Wish.
And ask for money when you are granted a wish.
We already
And invest it in a SEP IRA.
We already came to that conclusion. You keep wishing for your endless wishes, and we'll, me and Brad will be, we'll see you down. I'll pick you up at the DeLorean.
One of those endless wishes can be for billions of dollars.
That's what you
and
think.
And then I've still got endless wishes in my back pocket.
That's what you think, but shit backfires. Go with the one wish. Go with one.
It wouldn't backfire for me.
Okay.
I'm built different, all right?
You've never seen a movie.
No, I'm built different.
You won, and you hadn't even seen it. You won, but we all lose.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Side Talks podcast.
We're your own personal cinematic YouTube music employees and Google. Womp, womp,
what,
womp.
What are these folks up to? I don't know anything.
Oh, you haven't
this.
Been up on the news.
YouTube
they were trying,
music employees.
They were trying to unionize.
Oh, yeah.
And they
Google
got,
shut that
they
shit
just,
down?
They fired every one of them. I mean, look, there's that's not Google's official word, obviously.
Yeah, but
They were presenting in front of the city council in Austin, Texas. And while they were presenting, one of the employees came up to the presenting employee and said, by the way, we just all lost our jobs. And he was like, wait, what? She was like, yeah, we just all today, right now, just lost our jobs.
Pretty gross.
So, yeah. And, you know, Norma Rae, man.
Yeah. This is a pro-labor podcast.
Go union people. Anyway, are you going to be the YouTube employees or are you going to be Google?
Yeah. Do I want to be the fucking heartless corporation?
Well, you just said you wanted all the wishes.
Sure. So I'll be Google.
Go ahead. I'll be the laid off YouTube employees that
sure.
don't know what the fuck to do. That sounds about right. Let's stick with that.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Side Talks podcast, and maybe we'll get some of those. They've got nothing better to do now. So maybe some of those YouTube music employees will
take a listen. Email us at podcast@sidewalkfest.com. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your feedback. Thank you to Boutwell Studios and Brad. Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome.
And what else do we say here?
Sidewalkfest.com.
That's right. Or @SidewalkFilm on social media. But @SidewalkFest.com, you can buy tickets to what we're showing at the cinema. We have opening on March 29th, Problemista. Julio Torres's directorial debut, co-starring Tilda Swinton. And we've got Late Night with the Devil. I'm excited for this one, a horror movie that's like a fun 70s TV show found footage type deal. Looks like a blast. So come see those movies and much more in April. Sidewalkfest.com is where you can see all of that info. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, bitch.
Boutwell Studios Podcast Division. Your words, our expertise.